Vibe check. How we feeling about Steelers Colts? 412-928-9370. Phone lines are open. We'd love to hear from you. Statistically speaking, I think the Steelers should run away with this football game. They should be able to run the ball right down Indianapolis's throat. Defensively, you stop Jonathan Taylor, I think you win the game. From a tape-watching standpoint, Doran, think this is a good matchup for the Steelers. From a statistical standpoint, I think it's a good matchup for the Steelers. That being said, I feel like they're going to lose. I just have that gut feel.
What?
Just yeah, a you've been saying gut this all feel.
Week. You think it's like a trap game? Or
I don't know that I believe in trap games.
What's it going to look like
in the
NFL?
Do lose? I think the offense sputters around. Maybe a mistake or two. Some penalties are committed. You score like 18 points. And then you have Richardson hit a couple of big plays over the top. He can't complete the short ball. I think sometimes analysis on quarterbacks can be quite flawed. And I mean, I'll just say it. When you look a certain way and you're a quarterback, and you're athletic when you're a quarterback, people will be like, oh, they're a one-read guy.
Mm-hmm.
And they're inaccurate. I'm not sure he's a one-read guy or anything like that. But the accuracy numbers are horrific. He's got a 49% completion percentage. Like, that's real. And his expected completion percentage is up around 60%. So he's missing layups, but what he's got is a great, great deep ball. And so Steelers want to stack the line. They want to stop the run. Jonathan Taylor, even though J.K. Dobbins great, I think he's the best runner they've seen. And I could see them hitting a couple of big plays over the top. If the Steelers lose, I do think that's what it would look like.
Man, I just think that they keep trending upwards. Like, I don't think it's going to look like last game on offense. I think it's going to be more controlled. And we know that Jalen Warren is out for this game, and Najee Harris will play, and you have Cordarrelle Patterson. I think they're going to really, really want to run the football, control the game, and their defense is just...
It's so good.
It's so good. Like, there's so many holes in the Colts. On offense and on defense, I think the Steelers are at a point right now where they've played such a balanced football game as a team that I don't think that there's a loss this weekend.
Everything you said is right. I think if you are an analyst that is removed from this situation, like if you're not a Colts-specific radio host, a Steelers-specific radio host, and you look at the numbers and you watch what the teams have done so far, you go, Steelers should win this game. And it'll probably be close because that's the way they seemingly want to play on the road. I do think it's different home and road, by the way. I mean, we saw them open up the passing attack at Acrisure Stadium. I don't think that was an accident.
No.
Like, you feel more comfortable there. Now you're on the road and you should have Steelers fans there, but it's a dome. It's going to be loud. Get in, run the ball, possess the ball, get out of there with a victory. And I think all of the statistics bear out that the Steelers should win this game. But there's one thing that makes me pause, and that's football. Football's dumb. Football's weird. I didn't think that Houston was going to get their butts kicked by Minnesota. I think Minnesota's a good football team. Even though the Bengals have sputtered out of the gates each of the last three seasons, I didn't think they'd lose at home to New England. I didn't think the Ravens would lose at home to the Raiders. And maybe those teams aren't as complete as the Steelers.
Mm-hmm.
But we see it every week in the NFL. An underdog finds a way to win, and a home dog at that. I got an icky feeling.
Mm.
An icky little feeling. If Gardner Minshew was the quarterback, I'd feel better about the Colts' chances.
Yes.
Actually.
Yeah.
But then Richardson does some funky things, too. Like, I say he can hit you with the deep ball. If you don't come up and tackle that guy, he's built like a defensive end.
Yeah. That's maybe my pause is because they haven't faced a quarterback like that yet. And he just can break open a game at any point. Like, and I don't know how the defense looks playing a quarterback like that or Lamar Jackson.
You
know, they've had the Kirk Cousins. They've had the Bo Nix. And they've had a half... Justin Herbert in a backup.
Like, none of those guys could move.
No.
Like, Bo Nix can move, I guess, a little bit, but come on.
Not like Anthony Richardson. So it is going to get interesting. Like, that would be my only pause, really, because how are they going to stop him whenever he does put on his Justin Fields Chicago Bears hat and is like, okay, like my first read isn't there.
Yeah.
I'm going to run.
Yeah.
That's hard to stop sometimes whenever you got an athletic quarterback.
Yeah. He can change the game when you've got everything covered, when you got everything figured out, and he decides to tuck and run, and now you're one-on-one with a safety 15 yards down the field. And I think the Steelers have safeties who aren't ever considering business decisions. I think you got safeties who can tackle. Minka, one of the best tackling safeties in the league, and I like DeShaun Elliott. But when you got a freight train coming downhill, that guy will kill you.
Mm-hmm.
That guy will run your ass. Or he'll be on the bottom of his shoe like a piece of gum.
Mm-hmm.
So I do think while Richardson statistically has not been great, he's so talented that anytime he plays, if he plays his A game, he's going to be a problem.
Yeah, I do wonder. We talked about the flexibility of players yesterday. I do wonder if this is a more productive Peyton Wilson game just by lurking and spying and maybe adding late on blitzes and being able to drop into coverage on defense, and because he can run, you know, I mean, we all know that. So having him at the linebacker spot or a different package to kind of spy Anthony Richardson whenever he does want to pull it down, I think that he's the guy that can actually make that work,
mm-hmm.
make that happen, because he can't. He is a linebacker, but he can run. You know, he's not a safety that can just run, that is smaller, that can, you know, take punishment. And I think that this, if he is at that point right now in his, you know, 3-game career, that he can go out there and be effective, I think that we'll see a lot of Peyton Wilson.
That makes sense. You know what I would do? Because I'm such a football genius, Doran, I'm like a defensive coordinator masquerading as a radio host.
Mm.
I would play a lot of DeMarvin Leal in rundowns,
yep.
but have Peyton Wilson on the field too.
Yep.
Because, you know, they want to play. Elena Roberts, the run stuffer. So mm-hmm. Elena Roberts, Patrick Queen, runs situations. That's typically how they do it. But I would have him in the middle of the field, like you're saying, just to be the spy. And you have DeMarvin Leal, who's a defensive end, playing outside linebacker, who's got that stoutness to him. That's what I would do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a genius.
Yeah, you are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Rush defense for the Colts, bad. Giving up 179 yards per game on the ground. That is terrible. They're one of the worst third down defenses in the NFL. 50% conversion rate opposing teams have against the Colts. So we've talked about the time of possession there. A lot of that has to do with the offense going 3 and out, the offense turning it over, and the offense, when they do score, hitting the big plays from Richardson. A lot of that also has to do with, hey, defense, get off the field.
Uh-huh.
But the game plan should be simple in this game offensively for the Steelers. Run the ball, hit some play action, keep the ball for a long time, get out of there with the victory.
Yep.
Doran, you feel good about this game.
I do.
Everything's telling me to feel good, but I'm living in my fears. Got a freaky-deaky feeling that the Colts are going to win this game. Vibe check from you out there. Our loyal and wonderful listeners at 412-928-9370. How are you feeling about this game? We'll take your phone calls. You're lining up. That'll be next on the Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. And we remind you, the Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. Right now, it's a Sean Myers headline. Vibe check, how you feeling about Steelers-Colts? We want your calls at 412-928-9370. We'll start off with Ben in a couple of moments here. This game might have a high unwatchability quotient, Doran. Dale Lawley, who works for the Steelers and is a personal friend of mine, a nice lad, he always tracks the referee stuff. He tweeted this out today. Steelers-Colts this week will have Land Clark's crew officiating. They've called 50 penalties in 3 weeks.
Oh.
Second only to Cleek Blakeman's crew on a per-game basis. Clark's crew has thrown 43 flags the past 2 weeks.
That's crazy. You see that game last night? That was almost unwatchable as well.
Oh, God,
there was like 20 penalties. This is ridiculous.
And I know that it's early in the season, and so twofold. You got teams figuring themselves out, and you also have crews that want to kind of set their point of emphasis, right? But 11 penalties for 89 yards on the Cowboys, 4 for 35. So you thought last night was flag heavy. That's math. 15 penalties. Cleet Blakeman's crew. isn't the one we're talking about. Who is it? Something Clark.
Yeah. Rand or something.
Land Clark. Land. On average, 21.5.
That's just ridiculous.
At least both teams are going to want to run the ball. So it should move quick from that standpoint.
Yeah, a lot of holdings.
Well, 18 offensive penalties the last couple of weeks. About a dozen or so false starts. Okay, so those are just, you're going to have to call those.
Mm-hmm.
6 illegal formations. That's getting insane.
Yeah, because the guys aren't on the ball and not checking with the ref. Or, you know, we saw the first game of the year whenever the tackles were not on the line of scrimmage. Well, they were, but they weren't. I mean, it's just ridiculous. You're slowing down the game. You're making yourself the focal point of the game. Like, there are things that should warrant penalties. We get that. But, like, come on. Like, it's football. These are things that have been happening for years and years and years. You don't need to change it.
Keep it moving.
In that aspect. Right. Keep it moving.
Keep it moving. One of my biggest pet peeves ever is quarterback drops back, his first reads to the right. He throws the football, and they call a holding on the opposite side of the field.
Right.
If a QB is going through his progressions, and they get, you know, their second read, and then their third read's getting held, so you know it affects the play, okay, you got to call it, obviously. But, like, let's use some common sense out there, people. So it could be a tough watch. There's a player I expect to break out in this game, Doran, and I want to talk about that player coming up in the next segment. But right now, it's vibe check time at 412-928-9370. How you feeling about Steelers-Colts? You can also tweet us. Brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. You can text us. Brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Ben in Pittsburgh first up. Hi, Ben.
How you doing?
Tremendous.
Yeah, I am too. I'd like to see us score a little more than 18, 13, 20 points. This goes back years. I feel like we got great defensive coordinator, defensive-minded head coach. I know it's only week 4, but it'd be great to break out the offense and put up 30 points. I feel like we've done that like twice in my lifetime, you know.
How old are you, Ben?
I'm 24. We've done that a little more than twice.
Oh, jeez.
Recent history, that's how it seems.
Yeah, but you were too young during the Killer Bees era to really appreciate it,
that's
I guess.
Right. That's right.
Do you think they do it? Do you think they do it on Sunday?
No.
All right, Ben. Thank you for the call.
Hmm.
I mean, it does line up. Like, this is a defense that you can kind of do whatever you want. I heard Chris Hoke yesterday get asked, who do you fear on the Colts defense? And Hoke will always give his flowers. Wolf does the same thing. They kind of do the Tomlin deal in his Tuesday press conference where they'll make every team sound like the 1985 Bears.
Right.
And even Hoke was like, yeah, there's really no one. DeForest Buckner, great player. He's out.
He's out.
He's not playing. Offensively, for the Colts, v. defense for the Steelers, I'll tell you what I'm looking forward to. A little Quentin Nelson v. Cameron Hayward.
Yes.
Big bodies,
mm-hmm,
in the trenches,
mm-hmm,
man meat v. man meat.
Michael Pittman Jr., he's pretty good.
Yes.
He has a high-level production. I just, you know, Joey Porter Jr. or Dante Jackson, like, I love them getting the opportunities to get tested every week because I feel like that they're getting better. And they're kind of an afterthought at this point. Well, not Dante Jackson has kind of surprised a lot of people, and rightfully so. So, like, I like watching him play, and I think he's a great asset to this defense. But Joey Porter Jr., like, I feel like that, you know, I don't, you know, he's kind of doing his thing out there, and he's getting better. Like, this is only his second year. This is only his, he only has 1 year and 3 games.
Right. And so, really, he built up slowly last season.
Right, right. Broderick Jones, you know, if we want to flip back to the offense, I think that him, you know, bouncing even more forward from last game after the debacle of the penalties, I think that it's important for him to get better in this game, too, against, I don't even know who they're...
Liatu Latu.
Yeah, is that who it is?
He's pretty good. Liked him coming out. One sack on the year.
You liked him coming out? Where'd he go to school?
Liatu Latu?
Yeah.
Where'd he go to school?
Don't look
UCLA.
It up.
UCLA. I didn't look it up. They took him 15th overall. I knew that. Sean Myers has a different angle on my computer than you do.
I saw that Latu's page was pulled up there.
Yes. Yes.
Buckner has a sack and a half. Nobody else has more than that, and he's not going to play. Like, they just aren't good defensively. And you know what they do, the whole Gus Bradley deal. Like, they're going to play a ton of cover 3.
Mm-hmm.
You know who they don't have? Richard Sherman. or Earl Thomas or any of those guys. They're like, not only are they not super talented, they're kind of vanilla. Like when you look at the percentages of coverages, I'm not going to pretend like I saw it on film or anything, but just when you look at the
would you say the percentage of cover three is? Did you say the percentage?
It's very high.
Well, I would love that if I was George Pickens.
Right?
Love it.
And you know, like, you're not guessing. Like, it's who they are. It's what they do. And they just don't have the guys. 412-928-9370. You want to get in on the old vibe check? Vibe check. Coverage on the Fan presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile. You can get tons of benefits. Still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. I think this is the worst set of edge rushers the Steelers will play. Like, I thought the Denver front was okay, and then week one you had Judon. Now, Bosa gets hurt last week because Broderick Jones sent him to Middle Earth. But, I mean, you got guys there, Khalil Mack. I'm not seeing it yet again.
You do have that feeling.
I have that feeling.
Everything's telling you not.
You know what it is? It's like people like Caboli who wrote, the Steelers could go 9-0. I just don't think they're 9-0 good. And I don't know that they're 4-0 good, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And that might be a stupid way of looking at it. You play the game right in front of you, and the matchup's the matchup. But I think at some point you lose a football game.
Yeah, I don't know if it's this week, though.
I don't know either.
I feel like they're too balanced of a football team. They don't have to, you know, scorch earth. They don't have to be just, you know, just insanely good and putting up mad points and creating crazy turnovers. They're just very balanced, and that's sometimes a hard team to stop, especially whenever you have, you know, nobody.
Yeah,
especially on defense too, and your run defense is, you know, last in the league. Like
nameless gray faces.
It's just a formula I think that is inviting to the Steelers, and I think the Steelers will take advantage of it and identify exactly as they have in the first three games exactly what they need to do to win.
Yes,
and it might not be pleasing to the eyes of Steeler fans, but they are going to do exactly what they need to do to win.
One thing that concerns me: Alec Pierce has been pretty good this year. He's averaging 25 yards a catch.
That's a lot.
That's quite a lot. Michael Pittman, not so much this year, yet.
Yeah.
And then Ashton Doolin, 33.5 yards a catch. That's what we're talking about with Richardson.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's not going to...
Big player bust.
Yes.
They get Downs back this week, I think, don't they?
Shut up.
Sorry.
Jeez.
They do. You know where Josh Downs went to school?
UNC.
It's a good call.
Damn it.
That's a good call.
It was a very good call. Coming up next.
You need to apologize to Sean. Sean, you can slap him in the break. I'll give you permission.
I would never.
You can slap. Okay.
I will slap.
No, 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 no. Sean, slap me. All right, coming up next, there's a player I think is going to break out in this game for the Steelers. And it's about damn time. Who is it? Why? We'll tell you next. But first, it's a Sean Myers headline. It's breakout week for our guy, Doran. This is it. This is the game. This is the moment for Patty Freiermuth. 12 catches, 99 yards in three games. Pat, love you. Not good enough. Not good enough. Don't blame you. It's not all you. You did have the drop the last game. I know you're listening. I love you, Patty. Still owe you payoff on that Penn State bet that we had before that horrific game.
Yes.
But 12 for 99 for a guy making what he's making, I expect him to put up numbers. I think he's going to put up numbers, and I think it starts this week. Why, do you ask?
Mm-hmm.
I'm happy you ask. Indianapolis has seen tight ends targeted 20 times this season, Doran. They've given up 17 completions for darn near 200 yards. like, if it's going to happen for Patty Fry, it's going to happen in this game.
Mm-hmm.
Now, from a yardage standpoint, not terrible. Like, Kansas City's defense is giving up 335 yards against tight ends this year.
Really?
That's a lot.
That is a lot. Jeez.
The Ravens' defense giving up a lot of yards against tight ends. But Indianapolis, one of the worst teams in the league defending the tight end, at least in terms of completion percentage, 17 out of 20.
See, that I'm glad you're bringing that up, because that's kind of what we're talking about with identifying what the weaknesses are. And Arthur Smith has done a great job, I think, through the first three games of doing that. I mean, you talked about the Jesse Bates and not letting him, you know, kill the game against Atlanta. And then in Denver, you know, whatever their process was, you know, on offense, it's like, hey, this is what we're going to do. And then last week, this is what we're going to do. We're going to open it up a little bit and let Justin do some things that he hasn't, you know, shown on tape before. And this week, you know, that's a good little nugget right there that if you get into Arthur Smith's head and he loves his tight ends. I mean, do you see him gushing over Darnell Washington?
Yes.
He loves Darnell Washington. I think this might be a big tight end game just based off of those stats. And that's what he is good at. That's what I think that this coaching staff has really done very well together on offense, defense, and special teams of identifying what the issues and what the faults are of the other team and absolutely exploiting them.
Yes.
We talked about that last year of the Steelers always getting exploited. You know, whenever they would go into games, it's like, oh, these teams know what the Steelers don't do well, and they would be absolutely put on stage and exploited.
Houston comes to mind immediately.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, you just exploited the heck out of the Steelers last year, and I feel like that they're not in a huge demeanor and manner, but they are exploiting the weaknesses of other teams, and especially on offense, and Arthur Smith has done a good job doing that. So pay attention to that. Maybe some Patty Fry props take the overs.
I like that. I like that. I think, you know, he was targeted last week in, what was that, a two-minute drill? That's a hell of a throw. Maybe the best throw that Fields has made all year. And I do think the degree of difficulty on that catch is something, you know, people don't pay enough attention to. And I do because I know you, and we've talked through things like this. I don't think Freiermuth saw that ball until it was like an inch away from hitting him between the numbers.
Yeah, you got to catch that, though.
Got to catch it.
You're getting paid millions and millions of dollars.
Come on, Patty.
Yeah.
Come on, Patty.
He wants that one back, too. He knows that.
That thing was a boop.
Yep.
17 out of 20 targeting tight end.
Oof.
Here's another thing about the Steelers offense. Like, I don't think a lot of people are doing it like Arthur Smith does it. Like, they'll play three tight ends a lot.
Mm-hmm.
They play two tight ends a lot. Like, more than anybody in football. They do it more than anybody else. And it's not the same as what, like, Cliff Kingsbury's doing, not by a long shot in Washington. Like, Sean McVay, they don't do it the same way. I just think the Steelers present some challenges from a matchup standpoint in a league where, you know, defenses are becoming smaller and smaller, and you play your sub-packages more and more, and the Steelers like, nah, we're going to throw all this meat at you.
That's how their personnel is. That's how they're built. And I think that is on purpose. They didn't just fall into that.
Right.
Like, I know that Arthur Smith, for a fact, actually, you know, went up to Andy Weidel and Omar Khan and was like, all right, like, I want to be not tight end driven, but I like to utilize tight ends, and I like to have multiple tight ends. They are more important to me maybe than having an extra receiver. And I know for a fact that he went to Omar Khan and was like, we need to sign Michael Pruitt. And I know that he's hurt, but, like, that is a piece that he's not going to flash, but it's a big piece because he knows Arthur Smith's offense, and Arthur Smith knows him and knows what he can bring to the table, and he can block, and he can give you some utilization in the passing game. Like, this is on purpose why that they wanted to carry so many tight ends and why that they wanted to use so many tight ends, because it opens everything else up in his mind. That's just how he operates.
I don't care if Pruitt's not like this field stretcher or this bona fide receiving star. You still have to account for him in the passing game.
Yes.
Like, when you go out there, you're not just expecting handoff, because these guys can at least catch the ball and stay ahead of the chains, things of that nature. And I don't think we've seen anywhere close to the best the Steelers have with deploying all those guys. You mentioned Pruitt's hurt, and then you think about the offensive line injuries. I think they're going to end up being a running juggernaut by the end of this thing.
And what they really want to do with the whole tight end thing, and you say the running juggernaut, is they want to alleviate as much as possible the blocking aspect for Pat Freiermuth. So they don't want to put him in a position where he has to be one-on-one with a defensive end, where he has to, you know, kick out linebackers and do those things. They want him to be literally a glorified receiver. So it's like, all right, we have this big body guy that is a tight end, but we don't want him to block. So we're going to get some blocking legit tight ends and put them all on the field together. So how do you account for that? And we talk about bigs and smalls. Like, are you going to put a big on Pat Freiermuth? Because you know we're going to run the ball. You know he can block.
But he can also crush you up the seam.
Exactly.
Now.
So it's almost that mind game where it's like, all right, like, how do we approach this offense if we're defense whenever they have two blocking tight ends and another tight end on the field that could stretch and run routes?
And then you're thinking about, oh, we are in this now.
We're drawing it up in the dirt.
Right in there. And, I mean, when you got three tight ends, how many gaps do you got to think about as a defense? Mm-hmm. Like, holy cheese and crackers, Batman. I had something else I wanted to say, and now I forgot. Oh, Cordarrelle Patterson killed a guy last week. He came back, crackback dude, sent him into, you know, third grade. Because he's 6'2". Like, you think about him as well. He could be a running back, he could be a wide receiver. And then, like, if he gets out there and needs to block, ow!
Mm-hmm.
Ouchie!
Mm-hmm.
That's how I talk about football.
Ouchie.
I say things like...
cheese and crackers.
Ouchie and cheese and crackers. Yes. Yeah, that's right. Yes. Coming up next, PFF came up with a new stat. Just kidding. They say they've come up with a new stat. And it makes me want to pull my hair out. Tell you about it. Next, Chris Carter of the Post-Gazette at 8 o'clock. Right now, it is a Sean Myers headline. Fifty-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Chris Carter of the Post-Gazette, he's going to join us at the top of the next hour. PFF sent out a tweet yesterday, Doran, Pro Football Focus. Did you see this?
Nope.
Introducing chip percentage. How frequently do NFL edge rushers get chipped? T.J. Watt getting chipped at the league's highest rate, 44% of the time. PFF tried to sell the bill of goods the last couple of years that T.J. Watt gets double-teamed less than any of the big-time star edge rushers in the league. And those of us who watch him every game know that that is total crap. This annoys the hell out of me from PFF.
Mm.
We are introducing chip percentage. We've invented a new metric. How about you use your mother bleeping eyes?
Yeah.
Do they seriously watch these games and think that T.J. Watt's going mano-a-mano, one-on-one with an offensive tackle more often than not? Like, it's ridiculous to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we saw Joe Wall. They left him on an island at the end of the game. What happened? Oh, he's going to kill a dude. Like, that's what's going to happen. He gets chipped all the time. He gets double-teamed all the time. There's tight ends on him all the time. They go out and around. They hit him all the time. It happens all the time. And now you've invented it? If you invented it last year, because so many people put so much stock into this, he'd have another defensive player of the year.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Like, if I'm him, I'm seething mad about stupid crap like this.
I also heard of Landon Roberts. I think he was talking to Donnie last night, saying that he's never had a coach show him a PFF grade or an analytic person.
Yeah.
Show him a PFF grade. Like, I think you know where I stand on this. Like, I mean, it's all – you have to know – what's going on, the play call, the design, in order to grade.
Yes.
That's how I take PFF, because they have no idea what the play call is. They have no idea what the responsibilities are. They think that they do, but things change all the time, especially in the NFL on offense and defense. And defensive-minded coordinators and offensive coordinators, they do things a different way. So what you may think somebody is supposed to do is not always the case.
And even... like cataclysmic deals, like blown coverage. Oh, well, we're going to give Joey Porter Jr. a negative whatever on this. Well, how do you know that he didn't do the right thing and the safety's supposed to come over the top or something like that? And then don't get me started on the PFF grades that come out right at the end of a game. Do you have your team of minions sitting in the press box watching this thing live from an all-22 vantage point, or are you grading off of TV copy?
Right.
Not to mention, even when you get the all-22, every person's going to view something different. So the person grading T.J. Watt, are they also grading Myles Garrett? I think there are things PFF does that are useful, and there are teams that do use PFF that for other things, but they're never using it for player grades.
Uh-uh.
Like, I know, like, college teams, for example, I hear Neil Brown talking about it all the time. They grade every play, every player, every week. Why would they do that and then value what an independent place?
Yeah, there's no chance.
Like, there's just, it doesn't,
no.
It doesn't happen. But make no mistake about it. And Myles Garrett's a fabulous player, a Hall of Famer, first ballot Hall of Famer one day. But he won the Defensive Player of the Year award last year. What, not having a sack, basically, in the second half of the season, all on the back of analytics that are subjective in the way that they're put together.
Mm-hmm.
Make it make sense.
Does not.
So I'm peeved a little bit by this. Yeah. And I'm a little sensitive today, Doran, because we had someone who called up during the last segment off air Adrian was his name, and said he'd pay $10,000 to me for me to leave Pittsburgh.
I had somebody tweet me and say that my energy levels are way lower than usual today, too. So
I have not noticed that at all.
Me neither.
What do we do about that, though? What is this person expecting in terms of the energy?
Don't know.
Are you supposed to yell?
Yeah.
What are we yelling about?
No idea. It's
a football Friday.
Right. I'm ready to roll.
$10,000 to leave Pittsburgh, though. You know what?
Leave and come back.
Well, here's what you could do, Adrian. Why don't you come? You come right here to the studio with your $10,000. You can pay me to leave Pittsburgh. Doran, let's take it from him. All right, we got Chris Carter coming up next. Thank you for listening, Adrian. We appreciate it. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet 2024. Get up, Doran. Where's the energy? 2024 Chevy Silverado 1500, 1.9% financing, up to 36 months with approved credit through GM Financial. Full terms at sunchevy.com. Rain scattered throughout the day, a high of 75.